Okay, hi, hello friends. Today is, what day is today? July the 25th. We've just had the Leo Sirius full moon festival, and I'm able now to get back to this process. I'm in the middle here of expanding upon the meaning of the houses. Master DK told us to work this out for ourselves. The other 10 houses you can work out for yourselves. And over the course of teaching, Nicholas Nilan and I have worked these out and presented them in our various astrological classes. So, you know, DK does elaborate on the first and second house. I've always had this feeling that he has a lot of Taurus in his nature because of the tremendous illumination and accumulation of knowledge that he has, and also I believe it is the case, strong Gemini as well. So where am I in this process? We finished the eighth house, and we are now into the ninth house associated with Sagittarius. Traditionally, this is the house of long journeys of religion and philosophy, and of differing orthodoxies. Also higher education, the legal profession is there, publishing and printing, in general, the spreading of ideas, higher education, one's worldview, one's outlook on life, and thinking about the law, the judges who write legal opinions, thinking about the law in a large context. What is one's belief system, one's assumptions? Larger assumptions about life. Seeking here to get a little purple bracket so that I can see the ones I'm putting in at the present moment. Large assumptions about life, you know, what one believes to be always true. Large assumptions, real life. Some of these others, I really don't think I'm responsible for collecting them. I collected them, but I don't think I wrote them. But whatever a few of these things say, they may be of value. Yes, the formation of a personal system of ethics or philosophy. Ethics, the quality of right action. In whatever circumstances we may be dealing with, right action according to the law, according to one's moral standard. Okay, there are some things said there. Well, long journeys and all that is foreign, all that is beyond one's usual horizon. And exploration, speculation, yes. The exploration is another one of those important factors connected with, of course, Sagittarius and also with the 12th house. Exploration, eventually we'll see that it has much to do with what lies beyond the ordinary state of mind, and one can explore into the higher realms. One can, part of the exploration is what we call the taking of so-called trips, which are like drug trips under the influence of hallucinogens, that kind of thing. Now, the part of the body, I think that should have been included. Body, it rules the thighs in general. The power of locomotion. If you think about how the horse could cover ground rapidly. The horse is ruled by Sagittarius, and it was in the earlier days the fastest means of locomotion. It wasn't as if those were the kind of magical days where one could jump on a dragon or an eagle of huge size and go someplace, even though fantasy seems to show it that way now. It has a connection with a number of centers. The base of the spine center, related to Earth by its symbolism, and the esoteric ruler, of Sagittarius. So yes, perhaps the base of the spine center, the solar plexus center, because so much of the sixth ray and the aspirational nature is connected with this house. Aspiration is generally a type of energy which takes us beyond our usual boundaries, takes us towards something higher, and always something higher is indicated by the ninth house. So the solar plexus center, I say, should be there in relation to ray six. The sacral center reminds us of the centaurs, and there is much connection of Sagittarius in the early days with animal man. So the sacral center may be involved to a certain extent, and I'd like to say for higher types of people, definitely the Ajna center, where the vision is where the vision is found, or from which the vision, maybe I should put a capital V, can be seen. Now let's take a look at some of the higher correspondences. Well, the spiritual path is definitely there, whereas the path of lower mind is ruled by Gemini, we might say, and the third house. Now, this is along what I call the antichoronic axis. The axis from house 1 to 8 I call the identity, 1 to 7 the identity axis, 2 to 8 the desire axis, desire-aspiration axis. Interestingly, aspiration is found in connection with both Taurus and Scorpio, we will see, as illumination as well. Strangely, the opposites share in certain qualities. There is also the house 3 to 9. It's sort of the mental axis, but I like to call it the antichorona axis, working from lower mind to higher mind. It's the bridge. So there's a mental bridge here, and probably I'll get into that as written some time ago, but I think so. In the 4th to 10th house, the stability axis, 5 to 11, the creative axis, and also the question of individual and group is found there. And 6 to 12, the axis of adjustment, which means healing and bringing things into right relation so that the form is adequate to what is expected of it. Individual healing and social healing. Probably I've mentioned these things before, but it doesn't hurt maybe to repeat. The ninth house, the repository of truths contained in the ageless wisdom. So it's the wisdom house, along with the light of wisdom in the second. Sagittarius and Taurus are related. The wisdom house and the house of higher values. Well, higher, what should we call it? I think we can call it sort of higher, well, higher beliefs. It's your opinions. These are the crystallized views of the world. Life philosophy. Life philosophy. Here we can find, for the higher type of individual, the unification of the various belief systems, and seeing, it's in a way, I should say, the house of large perspective or outlook. This is the, it's the house of generality. The large bird's eye view. Not so much the specific. It can represent the mental permanent atom, yes, just the way the, and I should put this in the Gemini area as well. The Gemini area can represent the mental unit. Whereas house 9, the mental permanent atom. Going down again, kind of an unwieldy little tabulation here, but at least you'll be able to freeze the screen and study it if you wish. The mystery schools are found here, yes. The higher mind in general, and the mystery schools, as they cultivate the higher mind and the intuition. It is a house where intuitions come in, the intuition and abstract levels of thought, and also dreams as a means of communication between the higher and the lower. Some experiences on the astral plane, I think we simply have to look at them as eighth house matters. But dreams can be the voice of the soul. So in a way, dreams of communication between higher and lower. So let's say the house of higher guidance from the higher aspects of one's nature. Okay. And in general, travel to the higher planes via the Antikorana, the house of the big picture world, higher beliefs, yes. House of expanding consciousness. This is let's call this the house, I'll put it in a different, house of the vision of unity. So the abstract mind is found here, the intuition is found here, the first two parts of that to which the Antikorana leads, not so much the house of higher will, that is the difference between Sagittarius and Capricorn and between the ninth and tenth house. The will dimension is added in Capricorn. The abstract mind and the intuition are alive and well in relation to the ninth house and Sagittarius. So when you are, you know, studying the higher things and want to develop a worldview which is true, and so this is the, in a way, house of truth, developing a worldview or philosophy which is unfailingly, that's what they look for, failingly true. Because there's a great a steadfast orientation here, the tendency to hold a line of thought, the sixth ray plays into this, to hold a line of thought unwaveringly. So the quality, well, of course, when you talk about qualities, you're talking about energies in a way, but with orthodoxy, you tend to hold to it. With belief systems, you tend to hold to it. The quality of undeviatingly holding to a perspective is here. If I see Saturn in this ninth house, I might say, well, the person could be rigid in their worldviews. They could lock into a certain perspective and not want to be flexible about it. If I see Uranus, it could be just the opposite, and there would be much less tendency towards orthodoxy. But of course, there are theosophical orthodoxies as well as the more conventional kind related to particular, more familiar religions. In any case, there is an expanding horizon here, the possibility to see the big picture, the possibility to see, as it said, Dane Rudier said it, relations between relations. So the blueprints of that which works out more particularly in form. So this, you know, the people in the academic field who are not, you know, particularly involved in, let's say, teaching the trades, teaching practical functional activity in the world, that's more of a third house matter. If they teach meaning, what is the purpose of this? Meaning, purpose, these are ninth house matters. Quest for meaning and for purpose. Well, I think you get the idea. How do we go on the longest journeys? And this is through higher meditation. We go on the longest journeys inwardly. It basically, we have to decide whether the individual in question is an extrovert without much of an interior life, turned outward and reacting outwardly to what the various impacts may be, or whether they are turned inward and are discovering that the kingdom of heaven is within. I think that is the kind of thing that can be discovered in the ninth house, that if we're looking for the heights, we have to go within. Within to look for the heights of consciousness. Of course, what has to happen is that the different people at different stages of evolution have to be examined. People with a strong ninth house, we have to see how it actually works out in their life according to their level of evolution. A strong Sagittarius at a certain stage of evolution can probably give the same effects as a strong ninth house. So the contrast between what is energy and what is circumstance related to energy has to be carefully examined. When we go on to house number 10, the usual things are the father, but the mother can also be here. It is the parent in authority. So generally speaking, authority figures honor and status, and I'd add to that reputation. Let's see, I better go back here because, yeah, I'll add to that, reputation. What other people say of you and how you are generally viewed in society, government in general, these are concrete things. The house of career, public life, which is exposed, status, ambition, fame, we say standing, you're standing in the eyes of all. You know, whether it's father or mother is an interesting thing because you can find this either parent at either place. So often I've seen the father indicated by what happens at the fourth house. This is the thing you have to practice and actually correlate the theory and the possible interpretations with what actually happens in life. This is what we have to do. All of these other factors are pretty strongly covered already. Profession, yes, I think when we say career and profession, yes. Let's just say that general work and employment is covered more at house six. So when you have a career which is your calling, of course that's when you have a career which is really your calling, it's indicated more at the 10th house because the higher parts of your nature are speaking to you in that place. You may get inspiration via the head center or the Ajna center, both of which can be connected with Capricorn. When you're dealing with employment and usually in the service of others, where you stand in relation to them as the person of lesser standing to one of greater standing, then it's more house six. The knees and the skin are indicated here. So let's put that down as body relations, knees and skin. I'm sure in medical astrology there are other factors that are there as well. But those are the traditional meanings. There are many more, of course. So there are chakras in the knees, yes. The Ajna Center is ruled by Venus often and hierarchically. It is ruled, Venus is the hierarchical ruler of Capricorn. And so we bring this in for high visions, high soul visions. I will put that down here. Let's say elevated visions within the, and we can call it the light sublime or light supernal. Venus, so the light supernal can here be seen in the higher type of individual. Interestingly, there's a connection we have seen of Capricorn with Mercury. This happens in the last decanate of Capricorn, which is ruled by Mercury, but also by Vulcan and the Sun, principles of illumination. So the Mercury is the a more advanced ruler of the Ajna center. And so we continue with that connection. Vulcan as well is found here, related to the seven centers in the region of the head. There may be 14, as I've said before. Seven may be within the head, seven may be above the head. But Vulcan is related, as it is said, to the seven centers within the region of the head. And I would say also there's a very strong third eye association. Pineal gland and third eye association. The light in the head. Light in the head. And of course, Taurus is naturally not excluded, but a more intense type of radiance may even come through Capricorn, because Vulcan is also a ruler there. It's the ruler of Taurus in two ways, but it's a decanate ruler, and initiation is always represents an addition of light, and the third decanate ruled by Mercury and by association Vulcan and the Sun is a great area of illumination and initiation together. Let's see, I think the head center as well. We can connect the head center, and I think I've said that here. Yes, the head center in general, because we have Saturn and its connection with the atmic plane, which the head center is associated with. So he's given us the meaning of the centers. The head center has, in various ways, an atmic, monadic, and logoic association. Probably the heart and the head center is particularly related to the monadic level and to Neptune, and maybe some Vulcan, and maybe some Jupiter, but the head center is a whole conferring purpose and will is connected with the atmic plane, and I suppose the highest connection would be with the logoic plane. Right. I see I have a number of different fonts here. Well, okay. Let's see what happens. Yeah. All right. So now, Capricorn is such an important sign, and the 10th house is so important in terms of reaching a summit. I think I should put this in the way over here in general. The summit, or summation. So it's as high as one can go without having in a way to come down again. The divine will, spiraling this up, when we look at government and those that are in charge and spiritual authorities and so forth, the divine will is found here, and the culmination of spiritual purpose for any particular incarnation. This is indicated, of course, at the rising sign, but in general, the Dharma, or purposeful living, comes down from the 10th house area. The masters as authority figures and rulers are found here. It's not just guidance, it's actually supervision and executive power. So I'll put here that the executive branch of the government, of the inner government, the executive power of the masters is found here. the hierarchy in general, as the inner government of the world, all things related to do with government, as the inner government of the world, one's particular teachers, the opportunity to take on more spiritual responsibility, which will always lead to spiritual advancement, enforcing the plans of the masters or the divine plan. In a way, the divine plan is found here. It is a template to which all must conform, and there you have the Saturnian element of conformity. It is, well, perhaps one's externalized field of service in relation to one's dharma, I will put it that way, in relation to one's dharma. It's really has a lot to do with the line of duty that one must follow. So the divine plan is found here, the divine will is found here, purpose, divine purpose is found here. Your spiritual duty, your higher career, or let's put it, higher otherworldly career, your accountability to the inner leaders. I'll make that a capital. Your true accountability, your true calling. Your true calling, purpose, or true vocation is found here. I've mentioned some of this. Your merit, what you have achieved spiritually so far. It is a powerhouse. It's the top of the mountain. It has to do also, it touches upon your spiritual status. And it is, in general, if we spiritualize this whole thing, the house of spiritual authority, whether it is yours or belongs to those whom you serve. So, you know, in another way, it is a house of initiation, just like the fourth, a house of initiation. And there's some ways in which the midnight sun is correlated more with the fourth house. And perhaps higher initiations are found even there, more so than in the 10th house. This is the house of the midnight sun. I've gone over here back to the 4th house. And therefore a house of initiation. Some of the higher ones. If I was to look at which initiation, house would be more related to the fourth initiation and which to the third, I would say the fourth house would be more related to the fourth initiation and the tenth house more related to the third initiation. So, of course, it doesn't mean that everyone who has a strong tenth house will necessarily be before the public eye, but in a smaller context, they will oftentimes be in a position of authority. And they will be responsible in some way to represent the law, the divine law. So I'll put it like this, responsibility in some way to represent the divine law. You know, obviously, many books are written on the houses, and lately more and more take in the spiritual concepts. But I just want us to begin to get the idea of how this works. I'm sure we do to an extent. And, you know, you have to assess at what level of evolution you stand and thereby judge the meanings of the houses according to that evolutionary level, which you, for good reason and after due examination, assess to be the case. This is, we're going to the 11th house. It's correlated with Aquarius. friends, hopes, and wishes are the usual words assigned concretely. Organizations and clubs, political activities, it's the house of the future, in a way, and of planned change and of social change. It's also a creative house, where gathered energies are used to create new combinations. But of course, this can be, it's generally the house of group creativity. It's a group house. And it connects body relations, generally the ankles, the calves, and the circulatory system and the nervous system, along with Gemini and the third house. Let's see if there's, some of this is simply repetitious. Colleagues, mentors, the way society as a whole supports your aims. I hear say that society becomes creative. Well, I suppose there are centers in connection with every part of the body or a group of centers. Here, there's something about Aquarius which is very pervasive. So in a sense, this house, put it this way, this house, like house three, relates to the etheric body, the nadis and chakras. So that takes care of the idea of the circulation. Now, Aquarius is a house, is a sign of universality. It's a sign of synthesis. And if we look at the highest of the head centers, we will find that there is a factor of synthesis and liberation. So the highest center, head center, as a center of liberation and synthesis. The idea that in Aquarius you can combine in a creative way all the experiences you have ever had, and that's what the promise that the head center holds. Combining all the experiences which have been gathered, and these can be used creatively in service. Well, you know, it is said that the service of the self is one possibility with Aquarius. And so here, the activities which serve the self, but in terms of the higher correspondences, we would say the activities which serve others. You can have clubs and associations and groups which have a very selfish nature. Aquarius can be the elite which rules others without accountability. Or it can be those who seek to give whatever they have to those who need it freely and without restraint. So, in general, the higher turn of the spiral here, the house of spiritual groups, groups on the higher planes, soul groups, groups of egoic lotuses, all of those groups that we find in Letters on Occult Meditation, and I think we can find it here. It should be right around page, well, I usually put down 35X when I look for this. It's on page 38 and 39. But these groups on the mental plane, Buddhic plane, Atmic plane, Monadic plane, these are all Aquarian in nature. There's a sense of individuality and oneness simultaneously. So the group entity is found here, for better or for worse, in the 11th house. And also the co-members of your groups, the one-to-one relations are found more at the seventh house. But considering fellow group members, we find them if they're a member of the same organism or organization at the 11th. We have here like the ninth house spiritual visions and aspirations for betterment. The new way. And of course, that new way can be based on reactionary activities. I've seen a lot of very, very reactionary Aquarians. This is also possible. Some of the people with pronounced reactionary activities in our recent elections in the United States had a very powerful Aquarius. And some of the people that are known for their lack of accountability to the democratic system have very strong Aquarius. So there is, in general, idealism here. When you're looking for the other rays that might be coming through the constellation Aquarius, not just the fifth, it seems to include many, because it is such a universal sign. The new group of world service to a degree, but in a way, the hierarchy itself. This is the house of the ashram as a creative agent. The house of the ashram as the authority is house 10. The house of the ashram as a refuge is house number 4. So there is creativity along this axis. There's group creativity, I call it. The serving group, and I want to say serving in a creative manner. Your truest friends who share the same ideals as you do. And as a matter of fact, I think that hierarchy has been called something like this: friendship in its truest sense. So the whole idea of being with your group brothers and sisters in the ashram and sharing a common vision and ideal under the direction of a master with whom one's will and vision is in accord, all of this has to do with the 11th house. Creative group work, working creatively together to make a better world. So I just want to call it creative group work. And as I said, the house of the future. So there's a lot of vision in this house. Now you have to realize, and maybe I will do this, but we want to look at every house and the kinds of planetary gifts that one can find. Like in this house, the vision is communicated by Jupiter. It's also found in the ninth house, but the sense of fulfillment for all is found in this house. Fulfillment for all, and it is here that the life more abundant can be envisioned, because the better way for all. It's Uranian that in that nature. It's universal under the moon, veiling all three planets. Of course, these are more the kinds of things one deals with than necessarily the energy with which one deals. But it is a house of service, and it is a house of abundant service, a house of service broadcast, you might say. Of course, you know, in a more concrete sense, the tendency to broadcast can be a general meaning. I was looking at, again, some of the very reactionary, some would call them conservative, broadcasters, and they were strongly marked by Aquarius. They had a point of view. They wanted to get it across. They wanted it to be spread everywhere, and they let everyone know about it. They were not necessarily world servers at all. They had reactionary views, but they spread those views very widely, hence the association with circulation. The circulation of what? That is a question. Generally, there is a group effect here. This can also be on a negative, from a negative perspective, the house of epidemics. The way good things can spread around, so can bad things. Epidemics, yes. And so the idea of circulation from which one cannot protect oneself is found here. You know, if something gets into the blood, it circulates everywhere. So that is that there's no way to stop that. The usual barriers and protective mechanisms are not present with Aquarius. So if you touch one, you touch all. And if it's a taint, it hurts all. And if it's a blessing, it helps all. Well, you know, I'm aware that I'm running through this rapidly, and that books and books have been written about this. But what I want to do is get the idea here of how to spiral a conventional meaning into a spiritual meaning. When we come to House 12, you know, the usual meanings, hidden enemies, self-undoing, prisons, institutions, secret activities, hidden resources, crucifixion of the personality, in general, a house of karmic suffering. But of course, it could be karmic blessing as well, from a higher point of perspective. This is where the charities are found, helping those who have less. It can represent also limitation through handicap. So one's handicaps and things which prevent, but also the hidden gifts. One may the idea that whatever happens here is not obvious. It's called the House 12 is sometimes called the closet. And we don't know what's in the closet necessarily until one comes out of the closet. So there are here maybe hidden friends and supporters as well as the hidden enemies. And a person can be one's own worst enemy and involved with self-sabotage. It's sometimes a house of crisis where very dire things are faced, or many well-earned blessings. It just depends on how you've lived your life going around the wheel. Some of the things that seem to be said here, the house of troubles, well, there are the good things, transcendence and release correlated with Pisces, but also the way we've tied ourselves in knots and are not free and need a new cycle with a new impulse to free ourselves of these ancient habit patterns which keep us in bondage. Well, so some sort of bondage is here connected with Pisces. Bondage and release from bondage. I suppose if there are very deep karmic conditions, if you see someone who has like Saturn and Neptune, there have been conjunctions like that, of course, and they're in House 12, that there may be some hereditary or psychological factors, some skeleton in the closet, which has to be unearthed and understood before one can be truly free within oneself. Well, let's see, many things here. The heart within the head of the highest head center. Now, I would not exclude, in general, the part of the body connected here are the feet, and also the endocrine system. The lymph and so forth is ruled by Pisces. And the sort of one's stability, really. So many Pisces people don't seem to have their feet on the ground, but this is where you can plant yourself with a true understanding of the world, understanding, standing within and seeing and identifying with that which transpires. It's a subtle house. Is there alignment with the higher self? Well, oftentimes the voice of conscience may come here, and as well with the 10th house. I'd like to put that in. I realize there's no particular order here. Voice of conscience comes in under Saturn, telling what is right and wrong. And it comes in authoritatively at the 10th house. But also there is hidden guidance, which we can find here at house number 12. So I'll put that down, even though perhaps it's already there. Let's see. So the heart within the head center, which is a great synthesis, is ruled here, as well as, in a lowlier way, the centers in the soles of the feet. Soles of the feet. Kind of interesting, the word soul and soul, you know, the bottom of the foot and S-U-L, consciousness. It is a way in which we feel the energies of the earth. So there's much sensitivity. Sensitivity in those centers in the soles of the feet. Well, from the higher or at least more esoteric point of view, I should also mention that this is a house where religion is found, faith, and general contact with that which is unseen, whether high or low. And also the possibility of obsession is here. That's not a general meaning, but subtly one's enemies can slip in to one's house and possess it. So there is unredeemed past karma, or it can be very good karma, or I'll have to add that in, or blessings, or karmic blessings, I'll call it that. There are the dark forces of ignorance, there's the inversion of soul force and bondage to the personality, but I also want to talk about the opposite, also release from all those things. There's selfless service to humanity, and I want to say selfless, self-effacing service to humanity. The sun is in a way, the sun of egotism or egoism is dissolved in this house, and one truly fuses one's consciousness with all consciousnesses. So this is the place where Ahamkara is truly defeated. Venus rises in exaltation in this house, and the sun is connected, interestingly, with the very last decanate of Pisces, and hence with this house. So self-effacing service. There's access to the collective experiences of one's past lives, and also access to the what we call the collective unconscious. Access to the collective unconscious. All people have universal consciousness. Unconscious. So this is the house of the world savior rather than only the world server, although that's high enough. It's a very psychological house, detecting what lies behind, this particular life and what lies behind a series of lives. The memory of past lives connects with all of the water sign houses, the 12th, the 4th, the 8th. It's the house of the psyche. Contact with the inner worlds is facilitated in this house, with the inner worlds for better or worse, because obsessions and possessions can come in here as well as divine possession. I mean, it's a, let's say, great house for overshadowing. And when you look at how it was possible for some great teachers to take the physical body of their sufficiently advanced disciples, much of this could go on in the subtle process of the 12th house. It's the being who's really behind the obvious persona. It, you know, when people thought it was Apollonius, it could have been Jesus. When people thought it was Jesus, it could have been the Christ. When people thought it was the Prince Siddhartha Gautama, it could have been the Buddha himself. So who lies subtly behind? Who indwells? Who overshadows? So I want to great house for overshadowing, or sometimes it's called overlighting. The hidden blessings or hidden curses, generally invisible influences, and house of renunciation, learning how to let go, house of great freedom or bondage, the end of a cycle. And as I say, the handicapping is found here, but what handicaps us truly? So this is a, in general, a house of summation and of synthesis. The results of an entire cycle are found here. Okay, so many invisible factors are found here. Just which they are, you would have to determine by speaking with the individual. The responsibility of the astrologer is great to determine the exact application of some of these more symbolic indications. There are indications and there are applications. So, you know, you're facing a person who has thousands of lives behind them, and they're in a certain condition at the present moment. And your intuition has to come out, your sense of rapport, your sense of where they are in their life process, not only this life process for this present incarnation, but where they may be in a larger sense. And, of course, the solar angel can see something of this. In A Treatise on White Magic, DK tells us that the solar angel sees several lives ahead, maybe several lives behind. Maybe that's all that's necessary. We wonder what would be the profit of looking up every single life. As the Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree, supposedly some number like 555 lives appeared to him, but that's a symbolic number relating, I think, very much to Venus. And I think, you know, there must have been the significant lives so that the causal effects, the cause and effect could be seen. The fifth ray. This led to that, led to that. And the Buddha was a great one to emphasize inevitable causation, that the karma follows the act as the rear wheels of a wagon follow the front wheels. Exact. So he saw his many lives as a human being and even some pre-human lives, so the tradition goes, when certain qualities which would flower in the human stage were already present in a different animal stage. I think he saw himself as a tiger. The question is how symbolic is that, or how real is that? So when you start to spiral up the lower meanings of the houses, and of course these are just seed thoughts. The particular relevant factor in all of this has to be discerned by your intuition of the moment. You have to have that psychic power, we're all cultivating it, which detects the real need, and then go to the symbolic orientations and see what is the most salient factor in those symbolic orientations, and then perhaps some degree of guidance can be provided by you for your client. How does this really differ from the charts of the crosses? Well, the charts of the crosses will simply be energy indications, which you can use according to your will, in line with the plan and purpose as you understand it. There will be no passivity in it. It will be how to wield, manipulate, apply the energies available to you, and how to perhaps balance the configuration when the energies that you need are not indicated. Still, they can be summoned. The horoscope gives us access to every energy imaginable. This can happen through the progressed moon. It can happen through other kinds of progressions and ingresses where a planet changes sign or an angle changes sign. But it can also simply occur by summoning the energy. Look, we all have participation in the full moons. And I'm sure we participate in full moons where the sign of the sun, let us say, is not in our horoscope at all. And yet somehow we still feel those energies, don't we? So the human being has access to all the energies. Some of them are really emphasized in the chart and the axis is easier. The flow is prevalent. The flow is unstoppable in many cases. For others, there has to be a direct act of invocation to summon the energies which normally would not flow into the life. And you can make an evaluation of those particular energies which tend not to flow into the life unless they are invoked. But everything is accessible to us, and we have to learn how to create the balance and reduce the imbalances that we find. How a master or a high initiate deals with his chart is nothing passive. It has to do with having a design, having a plan in mind, and seeing what are the energies instrumental for the bringing about of the manifestation of that plan. And this is takes great discernment and an act of balancing, an act of focusing, an act of intensifying. It's a bit of astrochemistry. It's learning what to blend and how to blend it. There are many threads here. There are ray threads. There are zodiacal threads. There are planetary threads. They have to be woven together in such a way to produce the design, not which your desire wants, but which the divine plan intends. And I'm sure there's a great skill in action which is required for getting just the right result. So our horoscopes have to be studied from that point of view, not, you know, just as they say, now what's happening? It's not just what's happening, it's what will I do with what is available. And this is a form, I would call it more proactive astrology. It's the astrology of the will, in a way, of the will and intelligence. It's not the astrology of reactivity and of a dim and dismal attitude towards some kind of impending doom. The whole thing is constantly in flux. All of these energies are in flux, and when real loving, intelligent will in line with the divine plan and purpose are applied, out of any combination of energies can come that which is truly beneficial and not something that simply is fated, determined, in relation to which you have to be passive. Okay, so what I've done here over the last three programs is I've gone through a document which I've sometimes used for classes, and I have amplified this document and explained how I derive the higher meanings as much as may be possible. A whole book, of course, could come out of this, and not just one particular tabulation. But if we have some seed ideas for the experiences to be found in every house, we can better learn what energies to apply to deal with the issues that arise in this house. I mean, think about your life. What are the issues which are most often arising in your life? And how do they correlate? How do they correlate with your chart? Just see whether there's a correspondence between those areas of life which you consider to be most critical in your life, most accented, most prominent, and what the chart says. I think, well, in most cases, you will certainly find that there is a strong correlation. And if not an exact correlation with the houses, then there will be a correlation with the signs associated with the houses that would give of those issues, the houses which are related to those issues which you find to be most prominent in your life. So it takes a keen analysis. It takes a sense of synthesis, There's a power of combination here. You're going to put together many threads, many different strands to get that overall view of the pattern of the life. I mean, Master DK said that at the end of every life, a geometrical figure is rendered, or every life has had the effect of creating a symbolic figure, geometrical, which describes what the life process has been, and that that figure grows in beauty and regularity as one evolves. So you're participating here in the assessment of that figure by looking at the pattern of your life and trying to bring it into intelligent order, trying to appreciate it for all the many strands which are cooperating to make the design what it is. Now I think we're at the place where we can we're at the place where we can go on to page 511. We took a little break. So in a way, this here is the put it like this. This is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 130A. And we'll see whether I begin with 131 or not. And this is ending the chart of the, tabulation of the lower and higher meaning of the houses. And then we'll perhaps begin with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 131A. I know I could just say 131 or 130, but I'm just listing the single letter to show whether I have more or whether there's only one program in under a particular number or more than one. I guess I'll just have to be satisfied. Oh, well, I'm not quite satisfied. There's a factor here called invisible helpers. And Charles Leadbeater talks about how people in their dream life, in the astral state, oftentimes participate in various kinds of service activities as invisible helpers. My friend and Marion Walters, I guess I can call her a friend even though I was much younger, she was the last remaining disciple of the DK groups, and Keith Bailey and I both knew her very well as we could in those few years we met her before she died. She talked about the war. World War II was such a big thing for those particular disciples, big for all of us, really. And she says that when they served as invisible helpers, they were out there holding the D-Day forces that invaded Europe through France, holding them up in the water, sustaining them, helping them get through that terrible onslaught of guns and machine guns and rockets, and they threw everything at them as they were trying to land on the beach. In that movie by Spielberg, Saving Private Ryan, you got the idea of the hell it was to try to make a beachhead, to land on the beach in the face of all that fire. And these invisible helpers, as she said, were helping to sustain them, to keep them going, to make sure they didn't drown, things of that nature. And there are all different kinds of ways of being a helpful, invisible, quote, spirit, not really spirit, but, you know, in your astral body, to other people. And just the way there are on the other side, those negative disembodied forces which are working against the light and freedom. Okay, well, I guess, you know, I'm a tenacious Cancerian type, and I sometimes just don't know when to let go. But I will let go here, hoping that I've given you enough to deal with. And basically, if you want to study it, what I'm doing here is slowly moving down the whole of it. So you can study, if you wish, by freezing the screen. And these words will be here for you. And if you use There are many programs that you can take a snapshot of your screen, like Windows Media Player. The VCL group makes it easy to take a snapshot of any screen, and then you can print it out for yourself. And you can see the constellated ideas, the associated ideas here. And hopefully this will help with the study of this material, which of course has to be better organized than it is, but I think there's a lot of content there which can be used to clarify the higher meanings of the houses. Okay, so I'll go on in a bit, and I have one more idea about the houses which I will share when we begin at in 131A. Okay, friends, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.